Day 75. Instructions. You will hear a number of different recordings and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in four sections. Write all your answers in the listening question booklet. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to section 1.
Section 1. You will hear a lecture about the relationship of San Francisco and Shanghai. Listen to the lecture carefully and answer questions 1 to 16. At first, you will have some time to look at questions 1 to 16. Now listen to the lecture and answer questions 1 to 16. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. It is my understanding I am to speak on San Francisco-China connection. And let's talk for a few minutes about how that China connection took place. San Francisco, geographically port-wise, business-wise financially, is America's gateway city to the Pacific Rim nations. And yet we have a port that has been over the past decade steadily going downhill. A port which 10 years ago had 60,000 blue-collar jobs. A port which has lost most of its cargo to other areas. A port which last year handled 2.5 million short tons of cargo, but has the capacity to handle 5 million short tons of cargo. And so it was with some of these statistics about our city in mind that we looked at what could be done with America's recognition of the People's Republic of China. Also, my first day in office, I had the pleasure of giving the first key to the city to the Ambassador of the People's Republic of China, Ambassador Chai Si-min, who was visiting San Francisco on his way to Washington. We visited with Ambassador Chai at the embassy in Washington and made known to him our interest in securing for San Francisco one of the consular locations. We pointed out to him that we have the largest number of Chinese anywhere in the world outside of Asia. We pointed out to him that San Francisco was in fact the business and corporate headquarters of the Western Seaboard. And we pointed out to him our interest in making San Francisco the gateway city to China. And we were very pleased when we had in effect bumped another city that was under construction to become one of the two consul locations for the People's Republic of China. And that more or less began our relationship. Then I appointed a gateway committee. A committee of a number of San Franciscans in various areas who would work in various endeavors of securing relationship with China. A sister city committee, a business committee, a trade committee, and so on. Unlike Americans, the Chinese have a different perspective with respect to business. They make friends first, and then they do business with their friends. In America, you do business first, and the friendships may or may not arise from those business dealings. And so we thought we'd do something which had never been done before, and that is to put together a delegation, a Marist trade delegation, to go to China, a country that's had essentially no relationship with the United States for the past quarter of a century. And we went with the interest of developing a friendship or sister city relationship with the largest city in the world, the city of Shanghai, a city which is approaching 11 million people, whose port coincidentally ranks with the largest port in the world. So we developed a shopping list, and we proceeded to the largest city in the world, Shanghai, where we learned about a really totally different culture, a country that has a very different form of government from our own, a country which has several major endeavors, the largest of which is to industrialize and to open its doors to friends and people from other continents. And in Shanghai, we had a tour of the port of Shanghai. We spent a good deal of time discussing mutual problems, learned their three greatest problems of housing. The housing is very primitive by our standards. Pollution. The sky is often loaded with pollutants from industry. And transportation. The largest source of transportation there is bicycle, which is seen in great numbers. But there is virtually very little public transportation. And you have a city with 10 million people in it trying to move about and get to work. And we visited children's palaces and various communes and that kind of thing. But most of our discussion is centered around the development of what is called a friendship city relationship. China hasn't got friendship city relationships with any city in the United States, and we very much would like to become the first city.
This is the end of section one. You will have a minute to check your answer. Now turn to section two.
Section two. You will listen to an interview right now. A reporter will interview Benny and Kimberly about their entertainment. As you hear, please answer question 1725. Now looking at questions 17 to 25 at first. Now listen to the interview and answer questions 17 to 25. Well, here I am at the Brooklyn Academy of Dramatic Arts. I'm asking different students here about their favorite forms of artistic entertainment, pop or classical concerts, art galleries or the theater, the ballet or the opera. The first person I'm going to talk to is Benny Gross. Benny comes from New York and is 20 years old and he is studying the piano. Benny, hello and welcome to our program.
Hi, thanks.
So, first question, Benny. Have you ever been to an art gallery?
Yes, lots of times.
And the ballet? Have you ever been to the ballet?
Yes, a few times. It's all right, I quite like it.
And what about classical concerts?
Yes, of course. Many, many times.
Next, have you been to an exhibition, Benny?
Oh, yes. I love going to photographic exhibitions.
Do you? Now, next question. What about a folk concert?
No, never. I think folk music is awful.
Okay, and the opera? Have you ever been to the opera?
Yes. Two or three times. It's a little difficult, but I quite like it.
And a pop concert?
No, never.
Finally, have you ever been to the theatre?
Yes, once or twice, but I didn't like it much.
Okay, Benny. Now the next thing is, which do you like best from this list of eight forms of artistic entertainment?
Well, I like going to classical concerts best because I'm a musician, and I love classical music.
Okay, and what's next?
Let's see. Next, art galleries, I think, and then exhibitions.
Okay. Art galleries, then exhibitions, then the theatre?
No, I don't think so. I don't really like the theatre.
The ballet, the opera, which do you prefer of those two?
The opera.
So of the theatre and the ballet, which do you prefer?
The ballet, I think, because there's the music. I can always enjoy the music if I don't always like the dancing.
Right. Well, thanks very much, Benny.
You're welcome.
My next guest is Kimberly Martins. What are you studying here, Kimberly? Modern dance. I want to be a professional dancer when I leave. Okay, so here we go. First question. Have you ever been to an art gallery?
Yes, lots of times.
And have you ever been to the ballet? Stupid question, I think.
Yes, a bit. Of course I have. I go almost every night if I can.
And what about classical concert?
Yes, there are classical concerts here a lot. And the other students perform here, and I go to those when I can.
What about exhibition? Have you ever...
Oh, yes, lots of times. I like exhibitions. Exhibitions about famous people, dancers, actors, you know.
What about a folk concert? Have you ever been to one of them?
No, I don't like folk music very much.
What about the opera?
No, never. I don't really like the opera. It's a bit too heavy for me.
A pop concert?
Yes, I saw Madonna once. She was fantastic. She's a really great dancer.
And have you ever been to the theatre?
Yes, I have.
Right, thank you, Kimberly. My next question is, which do you like best of all? And I think I know the answer.
Yes, ballet, of course. After that, exhibitions, and after that, art galleries.
Okay.
What's left? Can I see the list?
Yes, of course.
Let me see. Oh, it's difficult, I suppose. What next? Classical concert, pop concerts, the theatre. Well, I think pop concert next. I like going to those. Then I don't know, classical concerts or the theatre? Classical concert, I think. So that leaves the theatre after them.
Okay. Great. And many thanks for talking to us, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
That is the end of section two. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section three.
Section 3. You're going to listen to a talk that is about the development of civilization. Listen carefully and answer questions 26 to 32. Look at questions 26 to 32. Now hear and answer questions 26 to 32.
The first two stages in the development of civilized man were probably the invention of primitive weapons and the discovery of fire, although nobody knows exactly when he acquired the use of the latter. The origin of language is also obscure. No doubt it began very gradually. Animals have a few cries that serve as signals, but even the highest apes have not been found able to pronounce words, even with the most intensive professional instruction. The superior brain of man is apparently a necessity for the mastering of speech. When man became sufficiently intelligent, we must suppose that he gradually increased the number of cries for different purposes. It was a great day when he discovered that speech could be used for narrative. There are those who think that in this respect, picture language preceded oral language. A man could draw a picture on the wall of his cave to show in which direction he had gone, or what prey he hoped to catch. Probably picture language and oral language developed side by side. I am inclined to think that language has been the most important single factor in the development of man. Two important stages came not so long before the dawn of written history. The first was the domestication of animals. The second was agriculture. Agriculture was a step in human progress to which subsequently there was nothing comparable until our own machine age. Agriculture made possible an immense increase in the number of the human species in the regions where it could be successfully practiced. These were, at first, only those in which nature fertilized the soil after each harvest. Agriculture met with violent resistance from the pastoral nomads, but the agricultural way of life prevailed in the end because of the physical comforts it provided. Another fundamental technical advance was writing, which, like spoken language, developed out of pictures, but as soon as it had reached a certain stage, it was possible to keep records and transmit information to people who were not present when the information was given. These inventions and discoveries, fire, speech, weapons, domestic animals, agriculture, and writing, made the existence of civilized communities possible. From about 3000 BC until the beginning of the Industrial Revolution less than 200 years ago, there was no technical advance comparable to these. During this long period, man had enough time to become accustomed to his technique and to develop the beliefs and political organizations appropriate to it. There was, of course, an immense extension in the area of civilized life. At first, it had been confined to the Nile, the Euphrates, the Tigris and the Indus, but at the end of the period in question, it covered much the greater part of the inhabitable globe. I do not mean to suggest that there was no technical progress during this long time. There was progress. There were even two inventions of very great importance, namely gunpowder and the mariner's compass. But neither of these can be compared in their revolutionary power to such things as speech and writing and agriculture.
That is the end of section 3. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4.
Section 4. Now you will hear a conversation taking place in a talk show program. The hostess, Juliet, is talking with the guest, Mr. Black, about sports. Listen to it and answer the questions 33 to 42. You will have some time to look at questions 33 to 42. Now listen and answer questions 33 to 42.
Welcome to our program. First, let me introduce our guest, Mr. Black, an amateur sportsman. Nice to meet you, Mr. Black. Today our topic is sports. Not all people like to work, but everyone likes to play. All over the world, men and women, boys and girls enjoy sports. Since the days of long ago, adults and children have called their friends together to spend hours, even days, playing games. Mr. Black, as a sportsman, can you say something about sports?
Okay, first of all, sports helps people to live happily. They help to keep people healthy and feeling good. When they are playing games, people move a lot. This is good for their health. Having fun with their friends makes them happy. And many people enjoy sports by watching others play. In small towns, crowds meet to watch the bicycle races or the soccer games. In the big cities, thousands buy tickets to see an ice skating show or a basketball game.
That's right. People often play the games that the others in their town or city play. And sometimes their favorite games depend on the climate of the region where they live. If the climate is hot where they live, then swimming is probably one of the favorite sports. Boys and girls in Australia love to swim. There are wonderful beaches there, and the weather is good for swimming.
And the people living in cold climates like to ski. There are many skiers in Austria where there are big mountains and cold winters. If it rains a lot in your region, then kite flying would not be one of your sports. However, kite flying is one of the favorite sports of Thailand.
Have you ever been to Hawaii? Surfing is an important sport in Hawaii. The Pacific Ocean sends huge waves up onto the beaches, waves that are just right for surfing. But you need to live near an ocean to ride the waves and enjoy surfing.
Yes, the geographical features of the region is also a decisive factor. You know, there are many wonderful mountains in Switzerland, so the people there love to climb mountains. Mountain climbing and hiking are favorite sports there. But there can be no mountain climbing where there are no mountains.
Besides, sports seem to change with the season. People often do not play the same games in winter as in summer. Sailing is fun in warm weather, but when it gets cold, it's time to change to other sports. People talk about sports season. Baseball is only played for a few months of the year. This is called the baseball season.
That is the end of section 4. You will have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test.
Day 76. Instructions. You will hear a number of different recordings and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played only once. The test is in 4 sections. Write all your answers in the listening question booklet. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will listen to a conversation between a tourist named John and his guide during their trip. Listen to it and answer questions 1 through 10. Look at questions 1 through 10. Now hear the conversation and answer the questions.
It's very quiet here.
It's not so quiet. Listen.
I see what you mean.
Of course, there are no cars.
No trucks. No motors. No computers. No people.
Where are the nearest people? We're about 20 miles from the nearest small town. That's where we're going.
How far have we come this morning?
Maybe 5 or 6 miles. Our camp last night was just over that hill.
That doesn't look so far. Is it really 5 miles over there?
It isn't if you walk over the hill, but the river goes around the hill. How long have we been going?
About an hour and a half, but we stopped several times whilst I took pictures. Does this river go beyond the town?
Yes, the river runs into a lake.
How far is the lake?
About 20 miles. The town is on the lake. It's on the other side of the lake, but it's built on the lake. The river runs into the lake, then it runs out on the other side of the lake.
Do you live in the town?
I live near the town. I live beyond the lake about 3 miles.
Do you live in the forest?
Yes, but I live beside the river too. My brothers and I all have houses there.
How many brothers do you have?
I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters.
That's a village.
Almost. My sisters don't live there. They're married and live in the city.
What work do your brothers do?
We all do the same. We hunt and fish. We are guides most of the year.
Who do you guide?
You mean people who just want to see the wilderness? Many. When I was young, we had only hunters and fishermen. Now we have mostly people who just want to look.
Where do you take them?
We hike to the large lakes. We canoe in the rivers. Many people like to visit the waterfalls in the area. We have 6 large falls.
Where are we?
Not too far. Rain is near where we camped last night. It's the other way, up the river.
Can we see some of the falls?
Tomorrow. There's one after the town, down the river about 10 miles. We'll see that one. It's on a stream that runs into this river beyond the town.
It's very peaceful here. Do you ever get bored?
No, I don't. Some people do. I get bored in cities. I used to work in the city. I didn't like it. I came back here.
Was this your home? I mean, is this where you were born?
No, I was born in the city. I went to school there. My father was like me. He didn't like the city. When my brothers all finished school, the family moved here beside the lake. My father never went to the city again.
What about your mother? Was she bored?
We're Indians, you know. She has a lot of friends here. There are a lot of Indians living around here. Across that ridge is an Indian town. My mother likes to go to the city to see her daughters, but she likes it here in the forest.
How far is the Indian town?
Walking over the ridge? Maybe 10 or 12 miles, but we can drive from the lake.
How long does it take to drive?
Just a few minutes. It's a good road.
Can we go there?
Why? There's nothing there.
I like to talk to the people. That's what I do. I talk to people and write stories about them.
We can go if you want.
I'd like to.
Most people want to see mountains, rivers, trees, wild animals.
I like those things too, but I like people in my stories.
There's a small river around the next bend. It comes from that mountain.
How far is that?
Only a mile or so. Are you hungry? We could have lunch there.
We didn't bring any lunch. I thought we were going to have lunch in town.
We could catch some fish and cook them. It's a good place to fish.
That sounds wonderful.
It's a beautiful spot. Look up there. Can you see that brown rock above the trees?
I think so.
Can you see a stream in the sun beside the rock?
Yes, it looks very, very small from here.
It's not very big. That's the beginning of the small river we are going to. It comes down the mountain into the river.
It looks very far away.
It is.
Have you been up there?
Of course. Look ahead. You can see the river now.
Oh, what a beautiful place. Let's definitely stop here to fish for our lunch.
Do you enjoy this?
I love it.
I thought you liked people.
I do, but I like being outdoors. I like the mountain, the river, the forest. It's perfect. Do you like what you do?
Yes, it's not really work.
What do you mean?
I do it without pay. It's what I do in my free time. I live outdoors. I fish. I hunt. I go down the river in my canoe.
Ah, thanks for a wonderful week. That is the end of section 1. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 2.
Section 2. You are going to listen to a talk that is about the search for survivors of Georgia tornadoes. Listen in carefully and answer questions 1 through 20. Look at questions 11 through 20. Now hear and answer questions 11 through 20. The search for more survivors of tornadoes that killed at least 18 people and injured 100 others in southwestern Georgia faded last Tuesday afternoon as emergency workers shifted their focus to assessing property and livestock damage. The immediate victim response is done, said Lisa Janak, spokesperson for the Georgia Emergency Management Agency. We're still in the process of confirming that with all the counties that the death toll should be pretty much stable. Initial counts on Monday, just hours after the powerful twister swept through 4 counties in southwestern Georgia, leveling hundreds of homes and tossing cars about like toys, had as many as 22 people killed. State officials said on Tuesday that crossover reporting had inflated the number, adding that they were now fairly confident most of the people reported missing in Mitchell, Grady, Colquitt, and Tift County had been accounted for. Janak said the agency would now begin determining how many homes and livestock had been destroyed. Federal and state officials have not yet released any estimate of the cost of the disaster. The tornadoes, the worst to hit Georgia since a twister killed 41 people in Gainesville in 1944, destroyed an estimated 350 homes in the 4 affected counties, according to preliminary state and Red Cross figures. It's just absolute total devastation, said Bill Maddox, spokesman for the American Red Cross, which has set up an emergency shelter in Camilla, Georgia, about 200 miles south of Atlanta. Camilla, a town of 5,500 in Mitchell County, was hardest hit by the disaster. Emergency crews used forklifts, trained dogs, and even their bare hands to comb through tons of debris scattered for miles around the area. You've got slabs where mobile trailers once were, cars that were mangled because they've been bounded around, brick homes that were smashed, and just piles and piles of rubble, Maddox said. The extent of the devastation was particularly daunting in a mobile park just south of Camilla. Only 3 of the 100 or so homes that once dotted the park still remained. It looks like somebody dropped a bomb on it, Georgia Governor Roy Barnes said after flying over the area on Monday. Georgia has declared a state of emergency in the 4 affected counties and dispatched emergency generators and additional law enforcement officers to the area. No looting has been reported. And in Washington, President Clinton declared that a major disaster exists in Georgia, making it eligible for federal assistance. Vice President Al Gore will travel to Camilla on Wednesday to view the disaster area, Gore's office said. State officials speculated the death toll from the first major tornadoes of the year was high because the twister stuck while most people were asleep and unable to heed tornado sirens and warnings broadcast on the television and radio. Residents were also caught off guard because tornado season in Georgia usually begins in March. Tornadoes most often occur in the late afternoon or early evening, once the day's heat has built up. Although southwestern Georgia bore the brunt of this week's tornadoes, officials in Arkansas, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, and Tennessee also reported storm-related damage. In Alabama, a twister in southern Montgomery County sent pieces of a factory's 4 metal buildings flying nearly 2 miles, causing $400,000 in damage. Tornadoes were also blamed for damage to about 40 homes in the Florida Panhandle, though no deaths or injuries were reported. This is the end of Section 2. You will have half a minute to check your answers.